It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Baseball is back.
He doesn't want a super spreader out there in the middle of the field.
The season is different. On the field, in the socially distant clubhouse, in the empty stands.
You guys wanted to do it. You've been wanting to do it for months.
There's a lot to talk
Who
about.
Who are you kidding? Don't give me all that bull crap.
And this is the place to do it. This is the Baseball Reporters with Tony Mass.
Brought to you by Big Y, Safety Insurance, Rodenheiser Home Services, Woodbridge Wines, Gravely, Budweiser, and Jackson Lumber.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Welcome into the Baseball Reporters. I know it's the highlight of your day, highlight of your weekend. You've been waiting for this since Friday, waiting for the Baseball Reporters to come back on Tuesday and talk about baseball and your Boston Red Sox. So I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to open up the phones right away, 617-779-0985. I'll tell you that later on in the program. We have Dan Roach of WBZ TV will be joining us. I have a very important question to ask Roachy. We'll get to him a little bit later. I want to start with the news, though, because it relates to a bigger picture topic, or I'm going to make it relate to a bigger picture topic concerning the Red Sox, who are in the midst of a doubleheader against the Philadelphia Phillies. So if you heard Jim Murray in the headlines just there, he told you Andrew Benintendi moved to the 45-day injured list. His season is over. His season is over. Andrew Benintendi will not play for the Red Sox again this year. And certainly that doesn't preclude anything during the offseason. But just to tell you, he will not be playing in another ballgame for the Red Sox this summer and this early fall. To which I say, oh, the lucky stiff. The lucky stiff. I would love to end this Red Sox season right now. I would love for them to place me on the injured list. So would Murray. Instead, we got to sit here with you for the next 3 weeks and actually try to talk about this team, which is no simple thing. Because they suck, the games are unwatchable, and frankly, the sport blows. So I don't know what to tell you. It's a hard time to talk baseball in this town. It's certainly a hard time to talk Red Sox. My buddy Chris Mad Dog Russo, and I say my buddy, our buddy, our colleague, Chris Mad Dog Russo, said a long time ago when watching about postseason baseball in Boston, he said, people in Boston don't care about baseball. They care about the Red Sox. And I think he's onto something there. I think he's always been onto something there. We're pretty provincial here. We'll watch it if our team's involved. Otherwise, for the most part, we don't give a rat's ass. So with this Red Sox team, and I don't have too many other directions to go to at this moment because we've talked about rebuilding the roster. We've talked about Chaim Bloom. We've talked about J.D. Martinez. You know where I stand on a lot of the individual players. Here's what I really want to know, and I would love to hear from Murray on this. I would love to hear from Jimmy Stewart on this. And most importantly, I would love to hear from you on this because I think it's a big question, a real question, and at the same time, an alarming question if you're someone like me and has spent your life in and around the Red Sox or your adult life covering the team and the situation is what it is now. So let me just begin by telling you this. I can't remember in my lifetime the Red Sox being such a non-factor, Murray. And I mean that on the sports landscape in Boston. I remember lots of years where they were bad.
Yeah, early 90s come to mind, but at least people still cared, you know, because they were still chasing the proverbial carrot in front of them, chasing a World Series championship, which most of us never thought we'd see in our lifetime, you know? So even though they sucked, people still gave a rat's ass.
I mean, they were bad in the early 80s. They were bad in the early 90s. They were certainly bad in the early 60s, which is a whole different argument, and we'll head back there in a minute, because I think there is a relevance to be drawn here. I can't ever remember the Red Sox being this irrelevant in Boston. Now, look, there are a lot of extenuating circumstances this year, not the least of which is a 60-game schedule in the midst of a pandemic. But they are a 0.0 right now in terms of interest. 0.0. I've said that they are very much like the Revolution. I mean, it's like you barely know they exist. So on the Felger and Mazz show today, I asked Vinny Crouch, who's the producer of our simulcast, to look up the Red Sox TV ratings for the weekend. Do you know what they were?
Were they sub one?
Friday, the Red Sox played a doubleheader. Game one was 0.98.
Wow.
0.98.
I mean, again, considering the lack of buzz that you're talking about, I'm not surprised to hear that.
Game two was a 2.02. The Saturday game was a 1.73. Sunday was 1.96. All four of those games averaged under a 2. A 2. For a team that, year in and year out, has been among the major league leaders in local TV ratings year in and year out. They're not number one anymore, but they're in the top 5, maybe 7, whatever it is. This year, non-existent. So here's my question. Do you think it's over? And I'm serious. Do you think the whole Red Sox thing in Boston is over? And you could tell me, well, it was over before this year. I would tell you, though, 2018, they won the World Series. They had a historic run. Some of that spilled into 2019. But now I look at them and say, is it ever going to be the same?
Yeah, I think the game has reached a tipping point, and obviously that includes them here. I don't think it's ever going to be what it was, even just a couple of years ago, you know, with that run and the historic year that they had.
So, Murray, it'll never be what it was in 2003, 2004.
No, I know that.
Even 2007.
Yeah.
Right? And just to put those TV ratings in perspective, by the way, again, they averaged under a 2 this past weekend. I don't know what their season ratings are. I'm trying to get them. They have to be basically astronomically, infinitesimally small. Tiny. They have to be tiny numbers.
Well, they were all right to start.
In 2007, for the year, they averaged a 12.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Okay.
Yeah, that's never going to happen again.
Okay. Well, not even close. Will never happen like that again. I'm telling you, I'm not sure 2019 is going to happen again. Last year, they were hard to watch. This is impossible. So how do you fix this if you're the Red Sox? How do you make it interesting again to fans? How do you entice fans to come back when they've completely lost faith in ownership and management? They have nothing. They know nothing about the general manager. They have no idea whether he can do the job. And I don't want to say I'm just starting to understand, but more than ever, I understand what they lost in the Mookie Betts trade in the eyes of the fan base. Okay, more than ever, I understand it. Say what you want to say about Mookie Betts, whether he was worth the money, not worth the money, etc. Mookie was fun to watch. Mookie was fun to watch. I wouldn't call him a dynamic personality off the field, but on the field, oh, he's way more exciting than any of the guys they get on the roster now. I mean, I love Bogarts, but Mookie's a way more dynamic player. Way more. So, no Mookie, no minor league system, no faith in ownership or management, and important fact here, the product overall, the quality of the major league product blows. It sucks. Baseball's a bad product. So Jimmy Stewart asked this question to me in the hallway before the show today, right out in the foyer out here outside of our studio. Not that people know what our building looks like, Murray. But I thought it was an interesting question. If the Red Sox traded for Mike Trout right now, would it change your opinion of where they're going?
No, it actually wouldn't.
Not at all. Not at all.
I mean, the Angels have been garbage.
No, I'm not disagreeing. I'm agreeing with you.
The Angels have been garbage with them, and they have some talent in that team, too. And what's happened with them? They're still one of the dregs of the league. It'd be the same thing here.
Does Mike Trout make the Red Sox even remotely more interesting right now today? Does he?
No, not at all.
Jimmy?
He doesn't.
Not the least bit. So this is what I'm saying. How do you fix this? Maybe it's unfixable. This is what I'm asking. In the eyes of a fan, is it unfixable? Do you look at it and say, that's it. I'm done. There's nothing that's going to bring me back.
Yeah,
or is this all just a product of a lot of circumstances? COVID, short schedule, bad start, bad team. And so you looked at it and said, you know, 15 games in, you said, I'm out. Why even watch? I'm not interested in Major League Baseball. I'm out. Why pay attention at all? And you'll come back if they do something next spring? But I don't think people are going to come back the same way they did before.
No, I don't either. And one of the things I was hoping for to try to draw someone like me back in who baseball has lost, Maz, is that so the 60-game shortened season, there is more heightened importance on each and every game, we thought. At least with the Red Sox, it's been anything. But it's an unwatchable product, like you said. And I'm sure, you know, based on talking to some other friends that work in different markets than sports radio, I hear like the White Sox are a fun team to watch right now and cover, but I'll take your word for it. But by and large, I think the product just stinks overall. It's walks, strikeouts, home runs. That's it. That's the game now. I have no interest in that. And so it should have been a better product. It's been anything but, and that's not just with the Red Sox, it's still with the league. Like I think they've lost and alienated a lot of fans. And if I'm the Red Sox, I think I just come to the acceptance of we're now a niche sport. As long as Fenway Park exists, it's a tourist trap. We'll be able to fill that, and we'll make our net that way, and we'll still have our TV revenue, and it's just never going to be the way that it was, even in 2007 or early 2000s. And you just accept that, and you know you're still going to be making decent money because people will always come to Fenway Park regardless, and you're always going to have your hardcore fans.
So, Mario, when you say it's a niche sport, I think of hockey as a niche sport, right? It's a regional sport. I think the impact here in Boston is going to be worse. Now, again, it's unfair to compare the Red Sox to the Bruins at the moment because the Bruins are still good. The Red Sox are horrible. You mentioned 1994 a little while ago. Like, that was the last time the Red Sox were really bad.
Like, 92 always comes to mind for me. Yeah.
Okay, but let me give you some idea of what was going on at that time. In 1991, 92, the Red Sox drew 2.5 million fans at Fenway Park. 2.5 million. 93, 2.4. In 93, 2.4. In 94, it was a strike year. The number went down to 1.8. And I think that that's the attendance, 1.8 million. Okay, now, I think that that is relevant to bring up for this reason. They came out of the strike in 95, and the Red Sox had a good team. Okay, they had a good team. They drew 2.1 million fans. And then in 96 and 97, they were right around 2.2, 2.3. My point is this. That work stoppage in 95, 94, 95, did damage to the fan base here. It was relatively small, but the attendance levels didn't get back to where they were. The point is, the work stoppage in 94, 95 hurt baseball in this town. And it took a while for the Red Sox to get that back. And you know what got it back?
Pedro. Yeah.
Pedro in 98. Pedro changed it. Right? All of a sudden, then it took off again. And that was the year of Maguire, so there was a lot going on. But baseball took a hit post-94-95, even here in Boston. Again, now the attendance numbers before 94, as bad as the Red Sox were in the early 90s,
it was over 2 million.
They were still better than they were post-strike when the Red Sox got better again. You see what I'm telling you?
Oh, yeah.
So fans were so what I'm getting at is this. The collective damage done in 94 by the work stoppage, I think something similar is going to happen now, and it's going to be worse. It's going to be worse. You've lost a whole season. People are demoralized. They're pissed off at the franchise to begin with. The team's bad. There's no hope in the minor league system. I don't think there's a Pedro deal coming. I don't think. I'm wondering. I do. I ask you as a fan, and we'll get to your calls here as soon as we come back, because I've rambled here. But I do. I want to know. For you, as a fan, is it over? Is it over? What's it going to take to get you back? Will it ever be the same? And I don't mean the same as it was in 03, 04. I mean the same as it was in 2019, let alone 2018 when they won 108 games. It's dire. It is. It's a dire situation. And I could sit here and blow smoke up your ass and tell you, oh, it's going to get better and make you all these promises because it would be good for my show, in theory. I don't know if I believe it. I don't. It's really bad right now. It is really hard to talk Red Sox. We'll take your calls when we come back.
This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show. The Baseball Reporters on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Talking everything baseball.
So if you're a Red Sox fan, here's what you think.
It's the Baseball Reporters with Tony Mazz on Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And the pitch is swung on and hit in the air to deep left center. It is high. It is far. It is gone. It's a grand slam. Boy, what an inning. The Yankee nightmare inning. Danny Jansen hits a grand slam on a 3-2 pitch. Toronto has a 12-6 lead, and they've scored 10 runs in the inning. Ouch.
Wow.
So here's your good news if you're a Red Sox fan. Who's more disappointing, you or the Yankees? How do you like that one? The Yankees now, with all that talent, 21-20. 21-20, the New York Yankees. They lose to the Blue Jays. They give up 10 runs in the sixth inning last night. They lose 12-7, I think was the final score. Toronto is now ahead of New York in the American League East. The Yankees are in third place. Third place in the American League East. And I think, incredibly, they're still in the playoffs.
Yeah, but they're looking behind them at Baltimore, of all teams, Detroit, and Seattle, who I think has been playing pretty well.
The Yankees are the eighth team right now.
Yeah.
They are the eighth team in the playoffs. Talk about a disappointing season.
Yeah, given what the expectations were, people look at them as a lock for the World Series.
Now, that would be a good team to be doing a show about this year. Okay, now, that would be a good team to be doing a show about. The Yankees are a complete mess. The Red Sox are so bad, they're not even worthy of calling a mess. That's how bad it is here. I want to get to a little bit more in that Yankees game. And again, the play to the Red Sox, where they are, how do you fix it? And again, the bigger question, is it over? Is it over? Is the Red Sox thing, the Red Sox phenomenon in Boston, the which started in 67, is it over? Is it ever going to be the same? And I'm talking about the same as 2019. I'm not talking about the same as 2003, 2004, or even 2007. I'm talking about them dropping to levels that we haven't seen here in two generations. That's what I'm talking about, because it feels that way right now. Let's go to Buddy Tom in Quincy. Let's start with him. Tom, what do you got?
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, Tony, the question you're putting out to people about is it over? Not necessarily to me over. I've never been this distraught over this team in my whole life.
Tom, how are they going to get you back? How are they going to get you back?
I'm telling you, it's going to be a long haul. I mean, it's obviously they made no moves this year to do it. They've done nothing, Tony, at all this year to gain any good favor back with fans.
What do you think they're going to do next year, Tom?
Probably the same friggin' thing, and it's going to drive me insane. And that's the thing, is it seems like they have no set plan besides just to blow. Because I don't see anything in stone that they have an agenda to do. You know, I know you said this year embrace the suck. I mean, they've encapsulated that. I've never seen a lineup or a roster with so many people that I've never heard of in my entire life, and I've watched them every game for 40 years.
So, Tom,
I don't know half these people.
Tom, I would tell you, when I said embrace the suck, I didn't want to embrace it this much. I didn't want to go that far. I did not want to embrace the suck quite like this. Wow, is this bad. And again, some of the guys you're talking about, Christian Arroyo, who's that guy?
No, they've completely enveloped the suck.
There's some guy who played the other day. He had a double and a home run. They got him from the Cardinals. They signed him as a free agent during the offseason, a minor league free agent. Can you look it up? Is it Munoz?
Yeah.
Munoz or something like that? I mean, I'm half joking. I'm not joking. I have no idea who the guy is or where he came from. No idea. Never heard about him in the system. Nobody. I have no clue who the guy is. Kyle's in
Christian Arroyo?
No. Christian Arroyo. I said the other guy. I think his last name's... His first name begins with a Y. See if you can find it, Murray.
Right.
Kyle's in Florida. Kyle, go.
Hey, Tony, I don't know if you're following along as much, but right now the Sox are in the driver's seat for the number one overall pick, which there's good news and bad news to that. The good news is that the top two prospects are, both Vandy pitchers, which obviously have a good track record. The bad news is that Manfred has the ability to set the draft order because they're not playing 81 games.
Correct.
So, do you think that plays to the Red Sox favor, or, would they rather see a team like Pittsburgh get the number one pick?
So Kyle, let me ask you, do they deserve the number one pick?
Yeah, for sure. But
Kyle, my answer is no. No, they don't. I wouldn't give them the number one pick if I were Manfred. No way. Team with the Red Sox resources. And again, one of the theories is that MLB is going to incorporate some sort of formula that will encompass last year and this year. So now, do I want the high pick? Sure. Is Manfred going to go strictly on a 60-game schedule? No way. And honestly, I think the Red Sox have quit. I think they quit a long time ago. I don't want to reward quitters. I don't want to do that. I wouldn't give them the number one pick. Nate's in Boston. Nate, go.
Hey, guys. For me, baseball lost me. Well, not baseball, the Red Sox. The Red Sox lost me when they traded Mookie Betts. You're talking about a guy who's a five-tool player. He's one of the best players in the league. I know, Matt, you don't think he's better than Trout, but he's at least a top four player in the league.
Okay, that's fine. But yeah, go ahead. I'm not disagreeing with you on that.
Yeah. And so as a Red Sox fan, it's this guy, he's one of the best in the league, and he's homegrown. He was one of our players. And if you go back to, David Ortiz was kind of like the mascot of Boston.
Yeah, but David, Nate, I'm going to stop you quickly just because I want to help you sort of streamline the point. David Ortiz wasn't homegrown. Okay,
he was a homegrown.
Yeah, no. But hold on. Okay. He became a Red Sox icon because he was here and produced in big situations. If Mookie were here right now, would he be making a big difference?
I mean, if you see what he's doing right now in L.A., he's tearing it up. But for me, here's the thing, because David Ortiz, there was some bad years that David Ortiz had. But I feel like for the fan interest, people, they love Ortiz, and same with Betts. We loved Betts, and they traded away, our marquee player. And it's like, who do we look to now as a city? Like, what players are we looking at? Xander's great, but I just don't think from a marketability standpoint, I don't think we don't have a player that was transcendent like Mookie Betts.
Okay, so Nate, look, I can't tell you what to feel as a fan, and I'm not telling you you're wrong. It's part of it. It's part of the equation. Mookie was fun to watch. He was fun to watch. I think people, though, sometimes get the issues mixed up. I think it's Tristan in a car. Tristan, go ahead.
Hey, Matt. So what I think that everyone's talking about is dynamic personalities rather than someone that's immensely talented that would make the team better to pull fans back in. A lot of those times, those two things coincide. But we've seen, like Mo Vaughn or Roger Clemens and Pedro, even someone like Kevin Millar in the 04 days, those players are exciting and fun to watch. And Mookie was kind of our version of that most recently. So I think trading him away ruin some of that, and I think that they can get it back. Right now, there's no one on the team, like you said, everyone's kind of nameless. There's no one that we have to really draw fans in that they're excited to hear a press conference about or what they're going to do next, like a Manny, Ramirez.
Yeah, so Tristan, here's what I would tell you, and there's a reason I punched you up after the last caller, because I think people mix this up, and they say, well, there isn't a personality to get excited about. There isn't a Mo Vaughn. There isn't a Clemens. You know why those guys were big personalities? Because the Red Sox were big. Because the Red Sox were chasing something that they hadn't had in history, in the lifetimes of many. They'd never won a World Series. So this pursuit became the story, and the losing became the story. And as a result, there was great attention placed on the franchise, and the personalities inside the franchise got a lot of attention. I don't think it's just about the personalities. I don't. I know that fans keep saying this, and Jimmy Stewart said this before the show, and he's not wrong. He said, if they traded for Mike Trout, would you be interested? Any more interested right now? And I said, no.
No, because the interest in the sports is just never going to be what it was.
He said, what about if they traded for Bryce Harper?
No.
And I said, a little more so, but I would be a little more interested in Bryce Harper than Mike Trout.
He's a bigger personality. But now they have Yairo Munoz. That was the name that you couldn't remember. And Okay. He is no draw.
Okay, and I say this, you know, in all seriousness. Who the flock is that guy, Murray?
Carrabis had no idea who he was.
Who is that guy?
Matt McCarthy had no idea who he was.
Yairo Munoz?
Correct, yes.
Who is that? And so this is what happens though, when your team sucks this bad. See, I think the bigger problem is that the sport blows. The big story, and I'm not putting these in any order. The sport blows. The team blows. Fans have lost faith in ownership and management because, let's face it, the last 10 years have been outhouse to penthouse and back over and over again. I mean, you've won some World Series in there, or a couple of them anyway. Four last place finishes. You've been all over the place. It's a schizophrenic existence. It's hard to sink your teeth into that. You go all over the place. There's just nothing stable about it. Meanwhile, the interest level in the overall sport is plummeting because the quality of the product sucks across the country, not just here. But here it especially sucks. And now you have the NBA and NHL coming back during the summer and COVID. That drew all of our attention. Celtics are making a run now. They're going to win this series with Toronto. The Patriots come back on Sunday. And all of this stuff's going to be going on again when the Red Sox come back in spring training. The Patriots won't be playing, but they'll be getting ready for the draft. And we all know the Patriots rule here now. I seriously wonder whether it's ever going to be the same again. I do. I wonder whether it's ever going to be the same. And part of me is really bothered by that. Part of me is resigned. Because, again, I just think the whole experience around the Red Sox and baseball in general over the last few years, and again, 2018 is an obvious exception, it's been kind of joyless. It's really not all that fun.
Is part of you happy about it in that the game overall needs a reckoning?
See, I feel in order to get people back, the game needs an overhaul. I think the way the game is played now is a big problem, right? For people that like baseball. So the casual fans, the Sweet Caroline people, those people are always going to parachute in when it's a happening thing. When it's a trendy happening thing, those people are going to come in. But the people who like baseball, I think the game's even losing them now. That, to me, is the part that the sport should be worried about. People like me, I like the sport when it's played right. It sucks now. I mean, something happened in a game last night involving the Padres that I'll get to later in the show that really made me go, oh, man. It's just perfect. What a perfect outcome for that. But I'll tell you what, we'll continue with your phone calls. I also want to talk to Dan Roach about this because Roachy loves the sport more than I do. So we'll bring Roachy in. We'll continue with your phone calls.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
This is a show that's all about baseball. The Baseball Reporters with Tony Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Dan Roach of WBZ TV is standing by here. We'll get to Roachy in 1 second. I do want to sneak in one call. Mike in Wellesley on the Red Sox and getting fans back. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, guys, love the show. So I'm actually one of the few that still watches on a nightly basis.
Mike, can I ask you a question? In all seriousness, why?
You know, because I just love the sport. It's just something I enjoy. And I'm not an old, I'm 36. I've always enjoyed it. But for me, I mean, I'm not watching full games. I'm just catching a few innings here and there.
Sure.
But it's kind of an unsettled season. You know, we got a new GM. He came in. Kind of a young guy, and, you know, he's forced to try to find a manager. He can't really find one, so we're kind of stuck with Renicky. We lose Sale, and then COVID happens, and so it's kind of a crap year to begin with. But, you know, even so, I'd love to see some of them bring up some of the younger guys that actually have a future, you know, like the Jeter Downs and the Jaren Durans and the Jay Grooms. But, you know, we have bums like Kickham and Yario. I don't even know that.
Yeah, Yairo Munoz. Yeah, Mike. Yeah. So listen.
So it's just like,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
How can I get into that? And then, you know, they, what really bugs me as a fan is the ownership still thinks we're stupid. I can't stand Sam Kennedy coming out in the beginning of the season, still trying to sell tickets, you know, trying to dress up a pig with makeup. You know, I've had enough of him. I'd rather, you know, go back to the days where it's just like Theo was the GM and he was the spokesman for the team and he's making the decisions. I want a plan from Bloom. I want him to be the only one talking, and I want to see a direction. For me, that's how they're going to get people back.
Okay, so Mike, you raise a good point. I mean, you know, if they brought Theo back, like would that help? They brought someone like Theo back, and I would say, you know, that might help a little.
He's got a point about the too many chefs feel though with like management, and you know whether it's ownership or Sam Kennedy, it's like it makes you feel like is Chaim Bloom just like a puppet? You know, like who's in charge here? At least during that era, it was mostly just Theo, or you got why am I drawing a blank?
Larry Lucchino.
Larry Lucchino, and granted, he has his spin on it and everything, and tended to be kind of an a hole, but at least he was an entertaining a hole. Like, I don't know, it just feels like everything's so salesy with all these guys, and it gets annoying. It's like, can I just hear from one mouthpiece, please?
Yeah. So look, I don't know. I mean, I think the Red Sox would tell you they like the group approach, as we all know. I would tell you that internally they think that works better. I would tell you that on the outside it's frustrating for the fans, and that given the instability of the organization, fans are done with the management and ownership. And all I can tell is the caller, Mike and Wellesley, that I understand why Sam drives you bananas. If you knew Sam, you'd love him. Maybe you do know him. He's a good guy. I mean, he really is. He's a genuinely good human being. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. He sends some stuff in these press conferences. I'm like, oh, Sam, I wish you hadn't said that. And it kills me to criticize Sam because I just think he's a terrific guy. And I think that they get in that job, and I don't know what the hell happens to them. They all don't start thinking straight. They feel like they can't be on the level with the fans. Just be on the level. Now, that said, they have bigger problems. Dan Roach, WBZ TV, joins us via the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Did I get that right?
That is correct, man.
Usually, there used to be a little label up here that said what it was. It's gone. So I don't know what happened. But Roachy, let me ask you a simple question about the Red Sox.
Hi, Tony.
Hi, Dan. How are you?
Hi, Jim.
Hi, Dan.
Roachy, how much are you watching these days?
As much as I can. You
seriously?
Know what I mean?
Seriously?
Yeah.
Honestly, yeah, Roachy, I mean, come on. Are you honestly, really watching?
I'm watching as much as I can. I'm not going to sit here and say to you that I'm glued to every single pitch, every single game. No, because it's tiresome. It's, you know, you know the game's over four innings in, the way the pitching staff has been since day one, basically, of the season, and it's not fun to watch. It's frustrating. I can only imagine what it's like for the hitters, you know, the Bogarts of the world and stuff. So yeah, it's hard to watch. But I mean, I've tried to watch and, you know, as much as I can, and I'm, to be honest with you, I'm excited for the playoffs more than anything else, because I think with the format and the way it's going to unfold, I think it's going to be a fun month of baseball. Unfortunately for Red Sox fans, the Red Sox won't be involved, but I can't wait for postseason baseball because I think it's going to be a blast, especially with the new teams like the emergence of the Padres and other teams. It'll be fun.
Okay, so Dan, I want to keep it to the Red Sox, okay, because people here, as you know, care first and foremost about the Red Sox, and everything else is secondary or third or even lower on the list. And so when you look at the team, like part of me wonders, and when they go through a season like this, Roach, you remember last year was disappointing too. Now this is beyond disappointing. This is as low as the morale around the Red Sox has been, Dan, as I can remember in my lifetime. Really, I don't remember a time where there's been less interest in the Red Sox than there is right now.
I agree with you. And I think that in baseball in these parts too. So, but go ahead.
Okay, so my question to you is it over? And when I say over, you know, are the Red Sox going to be now like, and they already were to a degree, you know, baseball had become a niche sport, but the Red Sox support in this town, even last year, there was a level of frustration. Last year was low. I mean, last year was low, relatively speaking. But how do the Red Sox recover from this, and do you think they will?
Well, it's a good question. I think there's a lot of things to talk about when it comes to how to get it back, and I think it starts with the game itself, you know, and some of the things that we've seen over the course of time, the way that the game has evolved and the length of the games, and that's made it tough to watch. We've talked ad nauseum about ways to speed it up, but they haven't done that. But then with the Red Sox in general, there's two sides to look at, too. One, you guys are talking about Sam Kennedy. Remember, there's television ratings, there's revenue that they have to get for that for Fenway Park. So Sam's doing the sales job. And then the other side of that is the baseball ops job, which Hein Bloom has now taken over, rolled up his sleeves, and he's starting to get a look at as many people as he can over the course of this ugly season to try to figure out what he has for a core and what he can add to that. They did get under the luxury tax. That's a big thing going forward for the next several years, so they can sign players, and they have a core. And I think that's what they're going to build off of. Devers, Bogarts, Martinez probably will be back because he won't opt out and won't be able to get much more on the open market. They've got Verdugo, who he likes. I think he's an interesting player. They'll be stuck with Benintendi because he's hurt. And then they got Sale, Erod, and Eovaldi, and hope that the pitching staff comes through and they'll build a bullpen. And, you know, and I think, you know, it's just my gut feeling, but I think that Alex Cora will be back next year. And I think that they feel like they can contend again and be a playoff contender right away.
So, look, Roche, again, you threw out a lot there, and I'm not going to disagree with all. I would tell you they're going to sign players. Who? Like, there's no superstar out there that changes the landscape, Dan.
And no, so, but I think that there's pitchers that they'll sign. Like, Tony, right now, look, you know the game. You've been watching the game your whole life. They don't. You know, when you're down 3-4-5-0 in the third inning, it's impossible. You know, they just need quality pitching arms to get everything else going. And once that happens, they can be effective. You put out Sale, Erod, Eovaldi, even Martin Perez, who could throw 175 innings, and then add a couple of veteran arms and then trade for young arms. Heim's known for finding arms. And then you build off that. I think that they can be a completely different team. Look at how bad baseball is, how bad the teams are out there. Look at the Yankees. They're struggling, too. So there's all kinds of things, and you got to look at 2020 as just one of those strange years, and you go out there and you build off of it.
See, Roche, I just don't. I'm not as optimistic.
I know
I'm not as optimistic as you are, and I know you find that shocking. But I look at
that's kind of like your MO, though.
Okay,
you know?
But Dan, I'm trying to be realistic about it. Like, and I'm
don't throw that part. Every time someone isn't optimistic, it's realistic. No, it isn't.
No,
it's
so
the way you are.
Okay, so
you hate the world, and you go from there.
No, I don't hate the world. But when you say Chris Sale comes back,
I do.
Murray hates the world. I don't hate the world.
I appreciate that.
I just kind of dislike the world. I don't hate it. Murray hates it. But I would say, so Dan, but Roche, when you say Chris Sale will come back, Eduardo, and I would say to you, Chris Sale, he's not going to be right next year, Roche. He's going to be a year removed from Tommy John. I mean, he's not going to be right next year. They might get him back halfway through the year if they're lucky. Look at Shohei Ohtani. He had a year and a half ago? He's still not right. And then I would say, and then he would say Eduardo Rodriguez, and I would say, well, tell me what he is, because I don't know what Eduardo Rodriguez is. And
I mean, based on everything we've seen with Rodriguez, he's got a chance to be fine. You know what I mean? He really does.
I'm not talking about the COVID, Dim. I'm talking about what is Eduardo Rodriguez in his career, really, and I would tell you he's a middle-of-the-rotation starter. And so I look at their roster. I look at their farm system. I look at I think, Roche, that fans have very little faith right now in ownership and management. And so you tell me. I'm not asking what you believe, because I know what you believe. You're an eternal optimist, and in all honesty, I love you for it. But I would tell you, what do you think? Do you think fans have faith in ownership and management of the Red Sox?
No, not right now. But I think that they should. I mean, granted, I mean, their track record has been pretty good, Tony. I mean, it's not the Patriots. But, you know, this team has been, you know, as we all know, under this ownership, what have they done wrong, really?
Four last place finishes, Roche.
Yeah, how many World Series championships, Tony?
Four.
I mean, come on, you got to be. Yeah, I mean, so you kind of brush that aside. I'll take four last place championships. Any Red Sox fan would, if you said over 20 years of ownership, you're going to give me four last place finishes and you're going to give me four World Series championships. What would you take? I mean, that's insane. Of course, they would take the four World Series titles. They've fixed up Fenway Park. They've done that. They've spent money. They just had to get under the luxury tax. This ownership group has been fantastic. What have they done wrong?
Okay, so
they didn't sign John Lester, so they made some mistakes. They shouldn't have signed Eovaldi to the long contract. But you find me a GM, including the guy down at Foxborough, that doesn't make mistakes. That's the way the game is. Are you kidding me? Four World Series titles can't be brushed aside as that being a bad ownership group and have no faith in them.
Okay, so what I would tell you, though, Roche, is that I distinguish between the first half of the ownership and the second half. In the first half, when they didn't win...
Yeah, they won in 13 and they won in 18. I mean, what two in a decade, Red Sox fans would take that.
Okay.
They won in 18. How many years ago was that?
And Roche, they finished last four times during that same sequence.
So what?
What do you mean, Dan?
So what?
The Red Sox... Roche, the Red Sox should never finish last. Roche.
But Tony, half those years, though, by the end of the season, by July and August, they've just kind of cashed it in. That's just the way it is. So they finish last. It doesn't matter if they finish last, fifth, fourth, third, second. No, it doesn't matter.
Oh, it does matter, Roche. The last place finishes hurt, Dan.
Because growing up, Tony, you and I both know that if the Red Sox were in contention on Labor Day, it was considered a good season for the Red Sox.
Standards have changed, Roche.
That's the way it was.
I know, but it's not like that anymore.
Changed, but, Tony, if I say...
It's not like, Roche, back then they were chasing... Go ahead.
If I stop a fan in the street and say, listen, over the last 7 years, if I'm going to tell you, you're going to finish last three times, but at the same time, you're not only going to get into two World Series, you're going to win two World Series. What would Red Sox fans, what would any baseball fan say to that?
I wouldn't take it anymore.
Why?
What
have the Yankees done over that course of time? What has any team done over that course of time?
Any team
in baseball would take that, Tony.
Roche, if you had told me back in 2003 and 2004 that they could finish last a couple of times but win two World Series by 2007, I would have taken it. But now?
Yeah.
No more. I'm not taking
it
anymore.
That's a bad way to look at it.
Because they should never finish last, Dan. They should never finish last. They should never be so bad. Roche,
if they finish last.
Roche, they should never be so bad that I can't watch the games, Dan.
Would it matter to you if this Red Sox team right now finished ninth in the American League or if they finished 13th or 14th or whatever?
Yes, if they finished ninth, it would make a difference because I'd be able to watch the games right now, yes.
You could still watch the games, and you could see Dahlbeck, and you could see Chavis.
Dahlbeck sucks. So does Chavis.
So that's what Heim's trying to figure out. I mean, how else do you expect him to figure it out? He's trying to see what he has.
They shouldn't suck this bad, Roche.
You got to give him a chance. He's only been here a year. He's been through hell as a general manager. He couldn't write up anything worse than he's been through.
They shouldn't suck this bad, Roche. They shouldn't suck this bad. And look, see, I brought you on because I thought...
Tony, I don't disagree that they shouldn't be this bad. It's terrible. It's terrible to watch. They got a lot of work to do. Will they ever bring these fans back? I don't know. I really don't know because I think that they're in jeopardy of losing fans here in New England for the first time, like legitimately losing, and baseball's fading away on them.
Exactly.
You know, even if Heim comes in, Tony, and does what he did in Tampa, what the group did in Tampa... Is that enough to satisfy baseball people in New England?
No.
You know what I mean? Like, because when Theo came here, he said, listen, all I care about is if we get in the playoffs each and every year, we have a chance. And if the Red Sox get into the playoffs each and every year for the next 5 years and don't win it or don't make the ALCS, would that satisfy baseball people around here? I don't know.
Yeah,
I really don't.
I'm not sure either. And look, I have to let you go because I've totally blown the break. All right.
Sorry.
So, no. I brought you on because I thought you could cheer me up. I think you only got me more pissed off.
I'm sorry.
You guys going to take it to the streets.
Still pretty good.
Roche, be well.
Sorry. All right, fellas.
See you later.
I love you. Okay.
He's so hopelessly optimistic that it pisses me off. Because I feel like I'm not getting through him. Like, Roche, what are you talking about? You're going to take all these last place finishes? What are you, out of your mind? Who can take this? They destroy the summer. I sound like one of these jackasses now from years ago. They're ruining my summer.
Yeah.
They're ruining my summer. No, I do. I sound like one of those people. I can't watch it. It's killing me. I have to sit here and talk about it for, however many hours a week. And they suck so bad, I can't even watch the games. I find that excruciating. God.
Talk for one more minute, and then we can get out of here.
All right, fine. Do me a favor. Play that Eric Hosmer highlight from last night.
I want to hit on this. Happened in this?
Okay, real quick. Game? Eric Hosmer is at the plate for the Padres. Jimmy played. I'll tell you in a minute.
Outfield pretty much straight away here on Hosmer. Infield in a shift on the right side, but they keep it tight to the infield with the double play scenario in order. And Hosmer trying to bunt. Almost got it off the hand. And that may have gotten the hand. Hosmer in some pain.
I wonder if he called that a strike because did he offer at it?
Jimmy, you can stop there.
He broke his finger.
And you know why he was trying to bunt? Because they were in a shift. So Eric Hosmer had two strikes. He said, they're going to stay shifted. I'll just bunt down the third baseline. I'll take the single. And he broke his finger and he struck out.
It's like nerd comeuppance.
Well, so this is, but this is the point. He was trying to do the right thing.
Right, no, I know.
He was trying to combat the shift. Everybody says learn how to hit it the other way. So Hosmer's trying to take advantage of the fact that the defense is playing the shift. You know what happened? He broke his finger. You know what the analysts in San Diego are now going to say to Eric Hosmer? Don't ever do that again.
That's what you get.
Don't ever do that again. Even though it was a fluke injury, a freak injury, now they're going to tell him never to do it again. So now you know what's going to happen? They're going to shift on 80% of the at-bats next year instead of 65, which is what it is now, you know?
Yeah.
They shift on like 65% of all at-bats. It's a freaking joke. Sorry, I'm angry today. Like, what do you want me to tell you?
It took Dan Roach to really get you hot.
Roach, he did. He pissed me off with his hopeless optimism.
Takes a special type of person to yell at Dan Roach.
And the irony is, by the end of it, Roach, he agreed with me. He says it might never be the same here again. I said, exactly. Like, so, you know, don't let him kid you. He knows it, too.
You badgered him.
Anyway, that's it. I blew right through the break. Blew that one out of the water, for crying out loud.
I hope you have a long drive home making Dan Roach upset.
I still have a read, don't I?
Yeah. Did you just tear it up?
I did. Hold on, Murray, talk for a second.
Well, what was it for? Was it for Budweiser and their new Bud? Was it
Anheuser-Busch?
Anheuser-Busch and Bud Select, is that what it is?
I believe it was for Budweiser Nitro Gold.
Budweiser Nitro Gold.
I have it right here.
Quite refreshing and delicious.
Okay, that's it for the Baseball Reporters tonight. Murray's got your headlines here in a minute. Don't go anywhere.
This is the Baseball Reporters with Tony Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.